This is an interview with Mrs. Pauline O'Halloran. It's a part of the City of Sydney's history program's oral history project on Meals on Wheels. It's taking place in her home in Edgecliff. Interviewer is Margot Beasley, and the date is the 4th of April 2007. Now, Pauline, your claim to fame at the moment is that you are the longest serving current Meals on Wheels volunteer. So can you tell me a bit about how you came to be a volunteer? How did that come about, and what year did it happen?
Well, Margot, as far back as I can remember, this is how it happened. I think at this stage of my life, my children were sort of what I would say off my hands. By that I mean they were going to school. And I had two friends who were doing this, the Meals on Wheels, once a fortnight. And we were talking, playing golf one day, and they said, "Would you be interested in joining us?" And I said, "Oh, yes, yes, I think I would." So they said, "Okay, well, so on Wednesday you come in with us and we'll introduce you to the Wilmer Amorosi, and we'll go from there." So there were three of us in those days in the car. I didn't start off, I don't think, driving, and I just delivered, and then it went on from there.
What golf club were you playing at?
I was playing at the Australian Golf Club.
And where were you living at that stage?
I was living in Woollahra.
Uh-huh. So I think you'd come to Woollahra from Lane Cove, is that correct?
I had come, yes. I had come from Lane Cove, been living there for 4 years, and then we moved over to Woollahra. And these girls just happened to be doing it for the South Sydney Council. So I just went along with them and decided to stay. I was quite happy there, and it was a nice group of people, and we all enjoyed doing it. It was something we all loved.
So what can you remember about those early days with Meals on Wheels? It must have been a bit different to now.
Oh, yes. In those days, there were many more people that you went to visit. I think there probably was about 32 on my list, and 34 even. And
so you'd do 34 on a day?
Oh, yes. But there were two, come three of us, if the driver... you could help if two went into one, and three of you could deliver as long as you found an appropriate place to park. That wasn't always easy. But in those days, I did it mainly around the Surrey Hills area. I didn't go very much further than that. But, of course, these days it's a bit wider spread. And less people, but you cover more territory.
Why would you think there are fewer people now than then?
Well, I can only presume it's because they do deliver these cool chill meals, which people that are able to handle a microwave and heat the meal, they get those, and they're delivered only twice a week. I deliver only the hot meal that has to be eaten at the time of delivery for
health
reasons.
You're thinking it's not so much that there are fewer recipients of Meals on Wheels, but rather the way that the meals are organised is different. So that for people like you who are driving around, there are fewer people who need hot meals. Is that what you mean?
No, I don't actually mean that. I mean that they, to save, perhaps if they can't get enough people, which is obvious because they're doing this big promotion now that we really need more people who are willing to drive mainly, but also to deliver the meal. I think that because of this, and they have employed now the council workers who can deliver these meals, and so it saves the likes of me having to have one every day. And I think it's purely simply that the fact that they've got to sort of, if they can't find the helpers, that they've got to do something else. And for those that can heat their meal, it's quite, they just get it delivered twice a week probably and put it in their freezer or fridge, and then they can reheat it when they like.
What can you remember about your clients around Surrey Hills when you first started delivering?
Well, they were concentrated mainly. There was a few of the just the singular kind of dwellings, but mostly they were in the big units like Northcote and the Pottery, and then the scattered odd one here and there around Surrey Hills.
So you mean that they were mainly public housing tenants?
Mainly public housing, yes.
But that's not, being in some way socially disadvantaged is not a prerequisite for receiving the Meals on Wheels, is it? I mean, people who are quite well off might still receive it.
I'm not sure what
they need to.
I'm not sure what the guidelines are. I know they have to have a doctor's certificate. So I don't know that it is, it's not basically just, not being well enough. I suppose that, I don't know the monetary part of it.
What I'm trying to say is it's not means tested. It's really about your physical requirements.
And I think it's more. I think it is more so that. Mm. But surely it has to be that. Mm. I'd say.
Mm.
Yeah.
So some people talk about Meals on Wheels being a bit of an eye opener. That when they first started doing it, they hadn't realised the kinds of conditions that some people live in and so on. Was it like that for you?
Oh yes. I found that mostly the women were the ones who kept their places very neat, clean, and tidy. The men seem to be a little bit. The ones who don't, that doesn't come into their thinking very much. And also there are people really who need more care than they're getting in looking after themselves, because some of them can't look after themselves and do live in what one would almost say squalor, you know. Oh. And I know that over a period of time I have gone back and told back at headquarters that, you know, so-and-so is looking very poorly and the place is filthy and should they do something about it. And I don't know what happens after that. Doesn't that's all you can do, really, because that's not my part of the deal for me, but at least.
But it is one of the functions of the Meals on Wheels delivery is that people do get checked on regularly.
Oh, yes. Well, when you say checked on, that isn't my role. But if I see something that I feel should be reported, I do.
Yes, I mean incidentally.
Incidentally, yes. But it is an eye-opener, I must say.
Can you elaborate a bit more on that, about conditions and people's circumstances and so on?
Well, of course, they're improving the accommodation now, I think, for these people, because Northcote was, I think, experimental. That went up in the 1960s, I think. Must have been the early 60s. And it wasn't a great success, I don't think. It was this high rise and... the one that is opposite the Pottery is a far better construction.
That's lower rise, is it?
Much lower rise, yes. It's not as big either. But it was very difficult, I suppose, to house all these people. We just don't have... we could do with a lot more public housing, that's for sure. And I don't know what happened to people now that that need it. I don't know how long they have to wait or anything like that. But, yes, I don't think Northcote was the best environment. And,
so what are you talking about there? Are you saying that the way the building was structured was actually an issue for living conditions, that actually impacted on people's quality of life?
Yes, I feel that when you put a lot of people together, stack people one on top of the other, don't think, number one, you're meant to live like that, but if you stack them one on top of the other... People then become reclusive almost. They feel there's so many people around, and certainly if you had any choice, you wouldn't choose perhaps to live next door to them. Keep to themselves, and I think that makes them a little more insular. And you don't go out and talk to people in the hall or anything like that. You just keep to yourself. And I could feel that. I could tell that by talking to them, you know. If you'd say, oh, so-and-so on floor, oh, no, I don't know anybody up there. guess it happens in all sorts of unit living. I think people are inclined to keep to themselves more. So when you get people with living with people with problems, it's more exaggerated. More, you know, they keep to themselves. Yeah.
Now, sometimes you take food not just for the human beings. I think. What was the story there?
Well, it didn't happen a lot, but if somebody did have a cat, it wasn't dogs in those days, they were cats, they'd ask could they give them something for the pet. And so I have been known to take little parcels of a meat to feed a cat.
Was that on your own volition, or was that part of the Meals on Wheels service?
No, I didn't personally do it, no. Meals on Wheels did it. But it's so long ago, I think, you know, nobody will remember that.
No, but it's a nice story,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mm. It is lovely.
Although
I did have a runner recently. He went into this unit where this fellow has a cat, and he was taking up a little packet of dry food to him. And then there was somebody said they were giving their meal to the cat.
Mm.
You see, they're the sort of things you've got to watch, because people get very fond of their pets. Mm. They're the company.
Mm. So they might feed the cat and be suffering from malnutrition themselves.
Probably. Mm. Or give part of it or something like that.
Mm. Yeah. Now, I think you also had a break in your Meals on Wheels service, didn't you?
Yes, I had a break in my Meals on Wheels, which I had to do it because I had a baby at 45, and my husband died when he was 2.5, so it meant I had to be there for him, and I waited for him to go to school, and I must have rejoined again when he was 5 and had gone to school.
Right. Mm. And since that time, about what year would that have been?
That was in 1975.
And since that time your service has been
He was born in 72, my husband died in 75, so he was 3 then, 2.5, 3, and then I waited another couple of years, and then I went back to South Sydney. I didn't go to Woollahra even then, I went back to South Sydney.
Mm. Did you like the South Sydney area? Was that why you did it, even though you lived in Woollahra?
No, I just got used to the people there, they were just such a lovely bunch. I mean, there was that whole, in Phelps Street, that whole room was crowded with people.
What are you talking about when you say Phelps Street? For the benefit of people who...
Phelps is where the centre used to be, off South Darling Street.
The activity centre.
And they had the activity centre, and they had their own kitchen.
And the meals were generated there?
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
And they serviced the area, the South Sydney area?
Yes, yes. And we used to have our meetings, we had a few meetings at the town hall. But then they transferred all that to Erskineville. And but now we don't have annual general meetings. I haven't been to one for years.
Mm. So there were a lot more meetings back then.
We had one every year.
An AGM, and also were there regular meetings where...
No. I wouldn't say so. No, there just seemed to be the one meeting where... Mm. And it was well attended. People were very interested, And the people who were doing it were very dedicated, you know. I thought they were terrific and nice people.
Were you also ever involved in actually serving meals to people in the activity centre as opposed to delivering into people's homes?
No, we never delivered, we never served meals in the centre.
Because in some of the centres that did happen.
Did it,
that sometimes the women would actually serve out meals to people who came in to dine.
Well, the time would have been overlapping.
Yes, well, I think they probably...
I mean, we always went out about 11, up as 10 or 11, and then by that time, by the time you got back in those days, you were looking probably at 1 o'clock. By that time, I think people would have been dining, sitting down, having their meal in the centre. No, I never delivered, served meals.
That would have been another centre.
Could be.
I think also sometimes the women involved in making sandwiches, were they for some of the men who were drivers?
When we were in Phelps Street, we took it in turns to do the sandwiches. And we had a table set up, and as they walked in, they would give their order, the taxi drivers included, and often they would have their sandwich then because they'd been working a long shift or something like that. We had a couple of taxi drivers, but mostly all volunteers. So when they came back, we all sat around and had lunch and one big happy family.
It's nice, though, isn't it?
It was nice.
It must have encouraged relationships between all the people.
It did. Mm. Oh, yes, it was great camaraderie about it. I liked it. I enjoyed it. But now it's a matter of come in, get the list, put them in the car, go and do the job, and that's it, and you come back.
So you don't get the opportunity to meet other runners and drivers very much?
Any of them, no. I do talk to the people in the centre, though. I enjoy that. I go in and I talk to whoever's in there.
You mean the staff, council staff?
No. The people who come in for a meal and that. And a couple of well-known people in there that are always good for a joke and a laugh. Mm-hmm. Mm.
And when you talk about taxi drivers, I think you're talking about the times when they haven't had enough cars or enough drivers.
Yes.
And so the council would actually employ taxi drivers to do the
run. I think they still do if somebody can't do it. Like if I go away, I think they get a taxi driver.
If you're not around.
Yeah, yes. I don't know if they have anybody else to do it if I'm not there for my run. Mm. Unless they get one of the other drivers. And I don't think I've met them. I may meet them in May when we go to the town hall. I probably could be there.
Ah, for the social
occasion. I think I have met one of them, but we're different days, so, you know, you just don't collide with one another.
Can you remember any particular clients that you're especially fond of in the early days or subsequently? You must have had a few favourites amongst them.
Well, I did, but I can't remember. Mrs. was one of them. She was in Northcote. And the other day when I went and I thought, I wonder if Mrs. is still here, but I knew it was the second floor. I couldn't quite remember. If I'd walked along, I would notice it. But you don't knock on doors these days. I mean, they wouldn't know who I was. I could be anybody. So, once again, people are very aware of these sort of things, you know. We had an incident where, wasn't on one of my days, it must have been the day they collect the money, which I think is a Monday, and a fellow held them up with a hypodermic needle.
Oh dear.
And took the money. They didn't have much, but he wasn't to know that. And I've been around when there's been a few police. There was police there yesterday. There always seems to be a paddy wagon around that Northcote unit. There was something going on. And you hear people shouting at one another. It would be drugs.
What was it you liked about Mrs. Why did you mention her when I asked about your favourites?
I think she was very outgoing and always liked a conversation. Some don't. Some people don't like that, you know. They keep to themselves too much. And there was a few in there, that women particularly, that I got to know. And then suddenly they disappear off the list. You never know why, unless you ask. And some move on to perhaps, you know, hostels or they die, you know.
And I think quite a lot probably go to nursing homes.
Exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
So nowadays you do, you're a driver, is that one day a week?
One day a week, yes.
So it's quite a big commitment, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is a very big commitment, because I said the other day, you know, if for any reason I feel I have to quit, I'm going to feel terribly guilty. I've been doing it for so long. That is not at the back of my mind at the moment. I'm healthy, thank God, and able to drive.
If you don't mind me mentioning this,
yes.
You have, I think, recently celebrated your 80th birthday,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
But you're a very fit 80-year-old.
Yeah, yes.
And
I am, thank God.
And I know that you are very much valued by the service, because I think reliability is
Yeah,
very
thank
important.
You. I am reliable. Mm. Yeah.
And what about, can you give me a bit of an idea of the run that you do now? You don't necessarily have to tell me people's names, or perhaps just their first names.
Right.
But what, when you go in on a Friday, is it Friday you do?
I do Tuesday.
I beg your pardon, Tuesday. Right. So when you go in on Tuesday,
how
does the day go?
Well, I start off and we head for Mrs. That's in Surry Hills. Then we go over to, straight through then to the Pottery and Northcote. And we'd only have two in each of those buildings. Then we go down Clisdell Street, and there's one there. Then I head over to Moore Park Road. And we do one Mr. there. Then I come back down through Oxford Street, and we have one, she loves E. Lee, and he's always there a fair while because she likes to chat to him.
He's one of your runners.
Yes, he's my Chinese runner, and he's just lovely, and he's always got a smile on his face. And she's in Liverpool Street. Then I go down to Poplar Street, down near where the big police academy is. Then I go down to Castlereagh Street. And then I come back to Riley Street and home.
And so how long does that whole run take?
It only takes about an hour.
So it's a lot less demanding than it used to be.
Oh, yes. Oh, much. Yeah. And I'm very lucky because I can usually park. People who do a lot of areas like King's Cross and that always have trouble with parking. I'm not too sure now how many rounds there are. I think there's only the one round. I don't know who does. I used to do King's Cross once, but they've all disappeared. I used to do quite a few in King's Cross.
They're done from out of Millers Point now. King's Cross.
Oh, well, that's... I see, yes. Well, there were quite a few in King's Cross. They've gone. For me.
Do you do any other kinds of volunteer work? Or is Meals on Wheels your main thing?
No, it's my main one. I do a couple of things for the church, yes.
Such as?
Well, I do the flowers. And, I do the counting.
The counting?
Counting the money. It's on the plate.
From the plate. That's a very important job.
Yes, I said to the priest jokingly one day, I think I want a bulletproof vest.
Because the plate was so heavy with donations.
Well, it's money, and you're never too sure what people might do to get some money. So, and they don't take up a lot of my time. It's just a matter of every bit helps, I suppose, because everybody's looking for help these days.
Yes, that's true. Do you think it's different from the way it used to be, that kind of thing, the need for money to generate money for organisations?
Oh, I certainly do, yes.
And what do you do with the rest of your time? You're very active, I know.
Yeah, yes, I fill in my time reasonably well. I play golf twice a week. I play bridge. I do shopping.
You entertain?
Yes, I entertain a little. Yes, yes.
Your table's beautifully set today for an Easter dinner.
Yes, yes. I enjoy that. I quite like doing that. I'm used to doing that. When my husband was alive, I did a lot of entertaining, and you get used to it, and I like it. In fact, my children all are that bent. They like to entertain. They love it, and they're all good kids too. They do their share of good works. They're conscious of their good fortune. I think that's what it amounts to.
Do you? Would you say that's your driving force?
Yes, I do. I do. I'm very thankful for what I've got. And I think when you do these things, it makes you realise just how lucky you are. So if there's anybody out there that feel they've got spare time on their hands, it's very fulfilling.
Your husband's been dead a long time,
yes.
Although I rather sense you still miss him.
Yes.
And he also did... volunteer work.
He was always very aware of people who needed help. He worked whatever time he could give because he had a young family and a big job. He did put in quite a lot of time with St Vincent de Paul.
What did he do for them?
Well, he used to go out sometimes on an evening and go and see people and help them with a little bit of advice, which he was, he'd be very good at that. And then we always had the time when we'd do the pick-up of all the clothes, and he'd take the kids off in the car and go and pick up the bundles of clothes in those days. They used to do the St Vincent de Paul runs. And
where would they pick the clothes up from?
They'd call on the people.
Oh, from people's homes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. Not from the big
bins. Oh, no. Mm. The people's homes. And some of those were Bellevue Hill especially. Mm. The things that people threw out were very nice.
Mm.
But he did a lot of that. But he got a lot of satisfaction out of it too. Particularly got a lot of satisfaction out. So, you know, it wasn't all, what's the word I'm looking for? Altruistic.
No, yes, I understand what you mean, although, well, people often say that that's the case, that the reason that they like to donate their own time or energy to particular things is because it makes them feel good.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
That's right. It's a strong, very strong motivating force.
Yeah. Yes, I suppose, and if you do it, I suppose you shouldn't talk about it too much. I feel I have.
Well, you've had a lot of attention in the last few weeks because of your long period of service.
Yes, and it gets to be a little bit of embarrassing because people say, oh, dear, that's fantastic, you know, and I think, well, I'm sort of just used to doing it, you know. It doesn't take a lot of time.
And you're available and you enjoy it.
Yes, I am.
Are there any other things you'd like to say today for this interview about Meals on Wheels in general?
Well, I think it's very hard to find people to do these jobs. They're always looking for places to advertise where the majority of people will see it. So I think that probably word of mouth is the best way of ever advertising anything. So I feel that if I were in a position, if I were younger, the mere fact that that's the way I started because somebody asked me, that I couldn't put my finger on anybody that I could say yes, there's a chance that they may do it. But I'll think about it. See if I can rope somebody in.
Have you recruited people in the past?
No.
Never?
Yeah. Well, I did one, but it wasn't her cup of tea. I think, not that she wouldn't do anything, because I know she mentioned something this week where she'd filled in for her daughter who was serving meals at the Matthew Talbot, and she said, oh, Pauline, you know, I was so surprised, you know, when I saw the age too. But I don't think, and without being judgmental, I don't think Meals on Wheels was her cup of tea, you know. I don't know what was, but to each his own.
Yeah, some people are just not suited, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Pauline.
Thank you, Margot.